Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with us on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're awesome. Great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. The DeAndre Hopkins saga is over with, yeah. Charles. He has chosen the Tennessee Titans. I guess at some point that deal will be made official. We'll see what happens there. But Hopkins coming to Nashville here and is joining the Titans. What do you make of the fit for Hopkins here, and how does that change, I guess, how you view what the Titans could be heading into this season?
Well, I think the money fits. You know, I think that's the thing that we talked about the last couple of weeks about, you know, the money that he was looking for. And, you know, I question whether or not he was ever going to be able to get into the realm of really what Odell Beckham Jr. was able to achieve. And although I've not had a chance myself to lay my hands on the physical contract itself, you know, from what I've seen, I mean, he looks like he achieved really what he wanted to achieve. He's going to get paid, I mean, $13 million, I mean, over 2 years. And, you know, it's still a deal where I would like to see exactly how it's structured. Haven't had a chance to wrap my hands around the deal itself. But I will say this. I talked to someone with the Patriots, and, look, they said flat out, like, we weren't going to meet that deal. And, you know, it was smart for him to take the money that he ultimately took with the Tennessee Titans. And I think it speaks, in terms of what it speaks for DeAndre Hopkins, at least how the Patriots viewed it, he's the number one receiver for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, they're going to pay him in a fashion that is clearly going to lay out the runway for him to be the top receiver for the Titans. And it's interesting, and I think it changes, at least externally, how you look at the view of the Titans. This is the kind of deal that says, okay, they're not in a total rebuild mode right now. And this is a player they went out and got that they value at least enough to pay him like a number one wide receiver. And, you know, between Hopkins and Treylon Burks and, you know, the running back depth chart, I would say it opens the quarterback window a little bit for a guy like, let's say, Ryan Tannehill, or if it ends up being one of the younger guys there. So it's definitely an interesting deal, somewhat unexpected. I think the Patriots are a little bit blindsided by the amount of money the Titans are willing to, you know, really commit to this, because I think the Patriots thought we're going to get Hopkins on a one-year deal, and that didn't ultimately happen.
Yeah, it's really interesting with the money, Charles, because, and look, I mean, I think I was at some point in the record, like, I'd give him like 8 to go up to 12 or something.
Sure.
But right, even, like, as someone here in town pointed out, I mean, even if he hits all his, and I've switched, by the way, I say escalators like you do now. I no longer say incentives. I love escalators. Like, he's still like barely top 20 in the league, you know, with that. I mean, there are some ridiculously overpaid receivers in this league. So I've kind of gone the other way. It's like, gosh, I understand. Like, I wasn't going to pay him that much if I was running a team. And obviously the Titans offered the most, and apparently the Bills offered, like, very little to come chase a ring. But at the same time, I mean, if he is good enough to pursue, I mean, that value, I guess, I'm doing a poor job of asking a question, but maybe we are undervaluing him a little bit?
Well, I think one of the things about veteran receivers, especially somebody this, you know, elevate, someone who's been, particularly when his ceiling's been met, I mean, he's an elite level player, you start to ask yourself, okay, well, what else does he mean to the build beyond just the pure statistics? And so to me, I'm like, all right, well, when I think of like Treylon Burks, I'm like, is this a guy that comes into the organization, he starts to, you know, teach some of the younger guys what it means to be this level of a number one wide receiver, and then also the quarterbacks. I mean, you know, so you start to think about the build in terms of the locker room and really what's the add there in terms of the money that's sort of traded off in a situation like this. I won't lie, you know, I was surprised he was able to secure the bag ultimately that he did, and again, that's without actually physically holding the contract myself and seeing exactly how the money's laid out. But you know, I do know that when you talk to people inside the organization, you ask what's the added value here beyond just the, you know, the statistical output in like a 2023. It's often what does player mean to other people in the locker room. And with Odell Beckham Jr., it was similar. You know, there was added value in terms of what he meant to the quarterback. There was added value to what he meant to the younger players that were obviously in that meeting room with him. And so, you know, I do think that Hopkins can still, you know, ultimately be that player for the Tennessee Titans. But I won't lie. I mean, I think it was a deal that once it was ultimately paid out, when you talk to other teams that were in the running, they were a little bit surprised at the commitment level of the Tennessee Titans. But, you know, I give it a year. Give it if it really does go the full 2 years here, maybe we understand a little bit more, you know, through the eyes of the younger players in the roster.
So, Charles, there's been one part of this in the aftermath that we've talked about a lot here on our show, and I don't know, maybe you could help me understand this. I realize that Ryan Tannehill is not Patrick Mahomes and he's not Josh Allen, but some of the reaction around the league that we've seen of, wow, DeAndre Hopkins really picked Ryan Tannehill over Mac Jones, has just been pretty mystifying to me to see that reaction. What do you make of, I guess, the core quarterback comparison on that one?
I don't think it's that mystifying. I mean, to be completely honest with you, look, Bill O'Brien, you know, walking into the fold there with the Patriots is important, but I don't know that we know for sure that Mac Jones, that this is going to work out, you know, ultimately for the New England Patriots. I do think it's a good, it's a step in the right direction. You know, I think the Matt Patricia, you know, vanity project by Bill Belichick last year was so horribly wrong that it's a pretty low bar. And you know, Bill O'Brien into that situation is great for the Patriots, but I don't think it automatically assures you that, oh, hey, Mac Jones is going to click into ultimately the 2021 sort of track that we saw. And we thought, okay, this is a viable piece. This is a guy that, you know, potentially, I think following the 2021 season, we thought this is a long-term, you know, piece for them. I don't think that's a guarantee. So for people who sit there and look at DeAndre Hopkins and say, well, geez, he's rolling the dice on Ryan Tannehill or Will Levis or Malik Willis, however the quarterback position ultimately unravels or sort of, you know, rolls itself out for the Tennessee Titans, I don't think that's any different, honestly, than the Patriots. I don't think there's any guarantee that Mac Jones is the long-term future with the New England Patriots. I think that's part of what plays into the, you know, the situation that really is ultimately unfolding for the Patriots at this point. When you look at Tom Curran, for example, great beat writer in the NFL. I think classic beat writer for any of the 32 teams in the NFL. And he says, hey, Bill Belichick is on the hot seat in New England. For Tom to be a writer that writes that, is it's legitimate. I take that seriously. When Tom writes that, I'm like, oh, you know, I believe that. And it's something that I've seen the indications myself. And if you're DeAndre Hopkins, you're sitting there going, well, okay, if I'm breaking down the situation in New England, I see that as well as, you know, the primary beat writer on the New England Patriots beat. And if I'm thinking about the next 2 years, not just the next 1 year, how much do I trust Bailey Zappi? How much do I trust the reality that there could be change in New England after 2023? I don't think the New England Patriots are that sure of a bet, maybe as people externally think when they compare it to, you know, the Tennessee Titans. I do think there are some similarities there. And I, frankly, I would argue the similarities when you talk about the quarterback position. If you're talking about the Patriots, is it that much further than Mac Jones at this point? I mean, do you believe in Bailey Zappi? Are you sitting there and saying, well, they really have two quarterbacks in the house? I would argue that if you look at the Tennessee Titans, there may actually be three viable players at the quarterback position. And if I'm a wide receiver on a level of a DeAndre Hopkins, maybe the Titans are actually a safer bet right now than the Patriots. I know it sounds crazy, but again, it's July of 2023. Let's wait and see of exactly how sure the Patriots really are. I don't know that they're as sure as people think.
No, I think that's Robbie's point. It's not. I mean, I'm at the risk of being a total homer here. I would 100 times out of 100 pick Ryan Tannehill over Mac Jones. I mean, I know, but like you said, you're thinking about 2 years. That's what's mystifying is that so many people are like, "Oh my God, how could you make this choice?" I mean, the Patriots. I think the Titans have a much better path to the playoffs this year than the Patriots too. How much that matters to Hopkins, I don't know, but should matter some, right?
I think they're more viable quarterback. If I looked at the overall depth chart, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, hey, the Patriots, you know, clearly there was something there to work with in 2021. Went horribly wrong in 2022. Maybe it was all a Matt Patricia problem. But if it wasn't all a Matt Patricia problem, I still view it as you have a singular quarterback piece in New England right now to work with. I don't know, given the improvement, honestly, and you know, it's funny because when I'm setting my training camp tour, and I start to talk to people, and I, you know, and one of the teams I was weighing, seeing is the Titans. And, you know, I reached out to a source on the team and I said, you know, what do you think about me coming in and visiting for camp? And he said, look, I asked about Willis. I said, realistically, beyond Tannehill, tell me about Levis, tell me about Willis. And like someone I really trust said to me, look, this is real. Like some of the strides we've seen from Malik Willis this offseason have been surprising, really something that we're encouraged about, and we feel really good about these two young guys beyond Ryan Tannehill. Look, I'll just tell you about New England. I don't get the same vibes there. It's sort of like, well, geez, we hope Bill O'Brien can turn this around with Mac Jones. If he doesn't, we are starting from scratch, basically, from the quarterback position. And so from that standpoint, if really I'm sitting there looking at DeAndre Hopkins and I'm saying, if he's really weighing this out, I can see reasons for liking the quarterback depth chart better in Tennessee than ultimately New England.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We've got more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. And Charles, we've talked to you a lot about the running back position. Now it's official. No long-term deal for Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs. And the question that I have now is, I guess how far are those two guys willing to take this now that the deal doesn't happen? And would they actually consider sitting out? And maybe, maybe, what do you think? Is the option of going like the Le'Veon Bell route the right move in this situation? Yeah. What do you think happens now with Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley?
Look, I think there's a dividing line here. I would be stunned if we see regular season games get peeled off by their player. I totally understand if Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley say, look, we're not going to show up in training camp. We don't want to put wear and tear in our bodies. We certainly don't want to play in any of these preseason games. But once the regular season rolls around, we're not going to miss game checks. That, to me, makes sense. The idea of going the Le'Veon Bell route, honestly, for either player makes no sense. And I actually have, you know, I have a very first-person connection to the Le'Veon Bell route. I was there. I went in November of, you know, when Le'Veon Bell decided, hey, I'm going to sit out the season. I went in the November of that season, and I was like, I want to be in the facility the very last day in November that he can show up. I was there staring at his locker room literally the day that Le'Veon Bell. I ran into Drew Rosenhaus in the parking lot. I remember the day he didn't report, and I watched the players devour his locker the second it was clear he's not going to meet the November reporting deadline. He's not going to be here for us this season. And literally, I watched players raid his locker room and strip it out. And I, unfortunately for Saquon Barkley, unfortunately for Josh Jacobs, I think they're in similar situations. It's, look, we get, you know, I think players will accept them not showing up for training camp. I think players will accept them being unhappy with really where the franchise tag is at this point. But I don't think either franchise, you're going to have players that are going to sympathize with, you know, individuals who aren't going to show up and be there once regular season games start. Doesn't make sense financially. I think it doesn't make sense from, you know, really the career build for the players. $10 million is nothing nowadays. But they are sort of victims of a changing culture in the NFL in terms of how money is allocated. I had a chance on the doorstep of both of their deals to talk to an agent who's done a lot of big-time running back contracts. He still has running backs on his roster in terms of players he represents. And he just straight up said to me, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, look, when you talk to general managers, you talk to head coaches, they're looking now, especially if they have prime quarterbacks, they're looking for quarterback maximizers, and they don't view running back as being a position that maximizes quarterbacks. Now they're saying, you know, when you talk about getting to the negotiating table, they're trying to direct that money into the number one wide receiver, the number two wide receiver, and then even the third wide receiver. You see assets being spent in the draft to enhance the position, not only from the standpoint of giving the quarterback three options to throw to, but also getting a third, you know, player in the fold who can then graduate into the one or two spots for quarterback. And, you know, when this agent described this, he said, where's that coming from? Where's the money coming from? Not coming from an offensive line, most in a typical situation. They don't want to steal from the offensive line. They still want to protect the quarterback, but it ends up really coming out of the pockets of running backs. She says he sees it from a build standpoint. Economically, it's just how things are changing in the NFL. 20 years from now, maybe it shifts, but this is where the cycle is now, and running backs, honestly, for lack of a better term, are getting screwed.
Well, and this is, I know we've talked about this before, Charles, like the idea of young players coming up and like, hey, do anything but that. I mean, to me, like Derrick Henry was almost a linebacker. What if someone in the 80s said, you know, Barry Sanders, you know, you'd be best off maybe as a safety or a corner. I mean, it sucks for football, right? Like, are we going to have crappy running backs in 10 years?
You know, that's what changes in the NFL. I mean, in terms of when you talk about positions and what really alters the future of a position, it's how the pipeline below the NFL level changes. And, you know, I don't spend 99% of my reporting effort on the draft, but it's interesting when I look at the last 5 years when I would talk to teams about evaluating offensive lines and listening to quarterback evaluators or teams that were really in the market for a high-end offensive lineman, they would say, you know, God, this sucks because we're in a position where what we're offered from the feeder system is changing and it's harder to evaluate some quarterbacks like a Hendon Hooker and the offense he's running, but then also an offensive line where we don't see, you know, players put their hand in the dirt, but we don't have a choice. We just have to augment how we really study the position and what's offered to us from this sort of free pipeline of talent. Running back is going to be similar. I think in the next 10 years, if you start to see players shifting away from the position, you know, the NFL will ultimately have to adjust to that. I think you or I, if I had a kid and I thought he really had realistic talent of ultimately reaching the NFL level, I would say, you know, maybe running back is not a position you want to look at. You know, it's, and I don't think it's any different in other sports. You know, I think everybody knows left-handed, but, you know, pitchers are premium. People know, you know, particularly when you get to a situation where a child has an individual, a young adult has an individual to enter a college program, you know, where the success level and the money is ultimately going to be if they have aspirations of, you know, being a professional in their mid-20s. I do think that's a real thing. So could we see it change? Yeah, I think we could, but also I think supply and demand just is what it is. There's always going to be an ability for more talent to flow into the running back position than any of the others. It's just, it is what it is. When you talk to teams and you ask them why is it devalued, they go, well, Kenneth Walker was a second-round pick. Breece Hall is a second-round pick. You know, Damian Pierce is a third-round pick and beyond. Brian Robinson. There's a lot of good, talented running backs in the NFL that go beyond the first round. It's not like it was
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. I mean, but then when you look at you and I, Joe, when we start covering the NFL, it's not the, hey, you know, Marshall Faulk, it's not LaDainian Tomlinson, it's not all these players that are, you know, Edgerrin James, and all these players where we're like, hey, top five, top 10 picks in the NFL, top 15 picks in the NFL. And I say that knowing Brian Robinson goes where, or excuse me, Bijan Robinson goes where he goes, right? There's still the ability for special players to be selected high, but by and large, NFL teams know we can get guys in the second and third round because of how we value the position. It's economics in the league. There's a certain liquidity to the build and players at the running back position right now are just sort of victims to it.
Charles Robinson joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. I will be, I think the next time we'll talk, I'll be on the road. So this is awesome.
And by the way, why do you have to talk to someone in the Titans to see if you should come to Nashville? Come on, get to Nashville. What are you talking about?
I will say this too. I had a chance to talk to Robbie with the Titans, and I'm kind of like, you know, figuring out like where I'm going to go. And what I was told was you would pick up a meal check if I showed up for the Titans to actually cover it. Is that true, Joe? That's the question that I have.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We've got.
I'll do it.
What's that?
I'll do it.
You'll do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right, there. Yeah, we'll I mean, you have expensive taste, so we may have to pool some resources, but we'll get it done.
We're going to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. I'll keep that in mind.
All right. Thanks, Charles. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We'll get into what Charles had to say on the D-Hop / Ryan Tannehill front there as well. Got some of your thoughts to get to on that on our text line as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.